This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Great is our God. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let me first express my gratitude to Pastor Tillman. You, sir, have been a gift to this community. And happy early birthday. I consider myself so fortunate to get to know you and to call you a colleague. Please, church, receive my deepest gratitude and humble appreciation for having me today on your 244th anniversary of this beloved congregation. I bring you greetings today from First Baptist Church on Chippewa Square. Our congregation is excited to celebrate with you your 244th birthday. Now, let me say, if you don't see me after the service, there is a reason for that. Today in our church, in just a little while, I am going to be participating in the baptism of someone, so I will run across town after this. But it is truly an honor and privilege to be here and share in worship with you all. Wow, what a gift. What a gift. Will you pray with me? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing unto you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A young white pastor, thirsty for an authentic experience of God, walked into a historic black church. This pastor was parched from the droll institutionalization of the white church, fed up with the half-hearted theology that never ceased to miss the point, tired of tending to the fragility of an all-too-passive church. The year was 1930, and the pastor was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the infamous German theologian, spy, and eventual martyr for the faith. You see, he had come to America for a year to study, even though he was already well educated, having won doctorate and having already published several books. He was going to study at Union Theological Seminary in New York City, the training ground of so many great preachers of our time and of our ancestry, and the eventual birthplace of black liberation theology. You see, Bonhoeffer took this year as an opportunity to experience America. And his first stop was the Riverside Church, a church not entirely unlike mine. The grand cathedral stood tall and loomed large over the entire area. It was built with John Rockefeller's money, and so he spared no expense. The grandiosity and image, though, made up for the vacancy and spirit in that place. Bonhoeffer was appalled. He said, quote, "They preach about virtually everything. The one thing not addressed is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the cross, the sin and forgiveness, death and life." Years later, he wrote in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, his frustrations with white Christianity. And it shone forth throughout that book. After all, it was not all that different from what was going on in Nazi Germany. He said, "This strain of Christianity, a faithful person, quote, can cling to their bourgeois secular existence and remain as they were before, but with the added assurance that the grace of God will cover them It is under the influence of this grace, he said, that the world has been made, quote, Christian. But at the cost of secularizing the Christian religion as never before. And then he continued and he said, the upshot of it all in the white church is that my only duty as a Christian is to leave the world for an hour on a Sunday morning and go to church and assure that all my sins are forgiven. Bonhoeffer knew. He knew that we had lost the narrative. He knew that we had lost the story. And back in New York, he was frustrated at the faithlessness among the supposed faithful. Along the way, he made a friend, a fellow student named Frank Fisher, the son of a well-known Black Baptist pastor. His friend Frank took him to Harlem, to Abyssinian Baptist Church, a church founded just over 30 years after this one here, but a church that was at the heart of the life of Harlem from its inception. A church not entirely unlike yours. Bonhoeffer walked in, and y'all, he met God. He met God in that place, perhaps for the first time. He later reflected that he knew theology. He was already a minister. He knew what ministry would require of him before the walking into the doors at Abyssinian. But it was there that he met God. He experienced God for the first time in that church. And that day, Reverend Adam Clayton Powell Sr. was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and Bonhoeffer was taken. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, world-renowned theologian, German pastor, spy, and the founder of the resistance movement against the Nazis, met God at Abyssinian Baptist Church. He became a Sunday school teacher at Abyssinian and would carry the legacy of the saints there back over to Germany when he returned to found the resistance movement against the Nazi party. But it was his time at Abyssinian that opened his eyes to injustice. It was only in seeing it firsthand, experiencing prejudice through the eyes of the people with whom he was worshiping, was he able to recognize what was happening to the Jewish people across the ocean. And it was not all that different. Abyssinian Baptist Church brought Bonhoeffer to faith, to true faith. It helped his faith blossom into an active public witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. His resistance to the Nazi hate crimes and genocide would have been impossible without his time at Abyssinian Baptist Church. Now, I bring up that story because there is nothing new under the sun. Times have not changed that much. Injustice has just taken a more insidious background role than what was happening during the Jim Crow and segregation eras. But injustice is still among us. Many Christians still treat their church as a bourgeois social club. Churches have been complicit in systemic injustices in their communities, choosing silence and comfort over discomfort and the callings of God to make a difference in our world. There is nothing new under the sun. And so perhaps God is raising up your church at such a time as this as an invigorator of the spirit in our world. Perhaps it is this congregation that can offer the comfort, care, and challenge that Abyssinian Baptist Church offered Bonhoeffer. Perhaps it is through this congregation that scores of people will continue to meet God even for the first time. And why do I hope these things? Because I know that's the history of this place. I know that's the history of this people. That's the legacy that follows you around. That's the calling that the people who have called this place home for 244 years have followed. 244 years of ministry. You all have endured a lot. And yet, against all odds, you are still here. In the last 2 years, we've all seen more death than we've cared to see. We've seen hatred, violence, injustice. We've seen disregard for neighbors and misinformation that leads people down paths that should have never been uncovered. It's been a difficult few years. On this first Sunday back in your beloved and beautiful sanctuary, I just want to take a moment and say, welcome home. You have been the church dispersed. These last few years, the church hasn't been closed. The church has been freed, liberated from the four walls that can easily turn into a fortress if we are not careful. These last 2 years have gotten us out on the streets. It has gotten us out of our comfort zones. It has gotten us out into the community. It has gotten us out to live out our callings, to bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. In today's story from Luke's gospel, we drop in on John the Baptist, who is in the wilderness. The people of God are dispersed. They had to get out of the walls of their institutions to truly encounter God. And it's there at the River Jordan that John the Baptist preaches, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." What does this mean? His onlookers ask. What then shall we do? Then John goes off to name public actions that a faithful person can take. Whoever has two coats, he says, must share them with a person who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise. Do not extort money from anyone. Collect no more money than that which is owed to you. John shows them that repentance has less to do with how fervently one prays, and or how faithfully one attends one worship service, but everything to do with how one handles riches and their calling to public service. Faith must be lived in public, not just in these four walls. Faith must be lived in public, and it is this message that the thirsty, gospel-starved theologian found at Abyssinian Baptist Church in 1930. And it is this message that so many thirsty, gospel-starved people have found here in this place over the last 244 years. In John the Baptist's time, people had to go out into the wilderness for the message that would stir their parched souls. Do you see the irony in that? In our Bibles, the wilderness image is used to symbolize the places untouched by the toxic institutions, a place that is still intentionally wild, chaotic, but dripping with the presence of God. We've been in the wilderness, have we not? In the wilderness, we cannot depend on what we have learned in the past, and perhaps that is why the last few years have been so disorienting. John the Baptist says to his hearers, "Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestors.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham." Now, as one of the pastors at First Baptist Church on Chippewa Square, I must say, too often my church, we lean on our ancestry for hope. Too often my church thinks that the supposed faithfulness of our past is going to get us through the struggles of our present, when in reality, our past and the uncritical repetition of it is sometimes the very cause of our struggles in the present. Struggles with becoming a justice-seeking congregation. Struggles to find identity with a meaning that is not tied to our building. struggles with reckoning with our past, struggles knowing and growing from our unfair and inhumane treatment of many of your ancestors. My church struggles to lean too heavily on our past, and in turn has a tendency to repeat it. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestors. And I think by that he means, do not claim your ancestors and not be willing to do the work yourselves. Too many people for too long have uncritically tied themselves to the success of their ancestors without doing the work of God for themselves. And I am certainly the chief of sinners in this regard. Friends, our ancestors can't help make the world more just and more loving and more like the kingdom of God today. They've already run their race, but we can. We can with our ancestors' legacy empowering us. We can with their stories emboldening us. We can with their work paving the way for us. Our ancestors can stir in us hope, but we also must have hope beyond them. On this celebration of 244 years of ministry, I hope that you can find inspiration in the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I hope you can find space in the wilderness in which John the Baptist proclaimed repentance. And I hope that you can find a sense of calling that is empowered by your ancestors, but not limited to them. Your congregation has been through a lot. From your founding as a group of enslaved people, thirsty and seeking God's presence, to purchasing land from ancestors of my congregation, while still enslaved, building a new church building, living on faith and hope that better days are to come. This congregation has been through a lot, and yet it is your experience of struggle, of suffering, of life with the constant threat of death and danger. It is in all of that struggle that makes your faith so real, so authentic, so meaningful, so much so that a young white pastor, thirsty for an authentic experience of God, might walk in, parched from the institutionalization of the white church, fed up with the half-hearted theology that never ceases to miss the point, tired of tending to the fragility of an all-too-passive church. Maybe when she walks in, maybe she will meet God too, because I think she has. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Never. Woo. The blood of Jesus. What a wonderful church anniversary. But we do have to take time here to pause and remind us that it is the blood of Jesus that has made the difference through over 244 years. Maybe someone today who's heard the message and realized how much God loves you in spite of what you've been through, in spite of what has happened down through the years, but know that God loves you, God cares for you. And to know the fact that Jesus did die for all of our sins. I said we messed up, we've sinned, we've come short, and we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So on today, if there's someone who says, I need the Lord in my life, I've sinned, I've come short, I'm sorry for my sins, I want to turn from my sins. Those who are watching, even though you're watching on YouTube and Facebook, right now you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can just pray this prayer with me. The prayer is one of acknowledging the fact that we've sinned. The prayer is one knowing that it is Jesus who died for our sins and rose from the grave. The prayer is acknowledging that you believe that he died and that he rose. Romans 10, 9 says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. So if you want to accept Jesus into your life right now, please repeat this prayer after me to accept him into your life. And then let us know that you made that commitment. Those who are watching through YouTube and Facebook and other mediums, you can let us know by just contacting the church or clicking on that particular spot that we have for you to do it. But if you want to accept Christ, please repeat this prayer after me if you want to accept him right now, right where you are. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please let us know that you prayed that prayer to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Once you've made that commitment, we're asking that you will continue to allow God to move in a very special way in your life. Let us know that. If you're here and you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you do not have a church home and would like to unite in fellowship with First African Baptist Church, we ask that you would just come forward and we're going to still distance ourselves from you and you will go downstairs. Our team will meet you downstairs to get all your pertinent information. So if anyone who's here this morning would like to accept Christ, become a member of First African, please just move forward and we will do that. While you're moving, we do need to recognize Brother Galen Houston. Galen, we want to recognize the Galen Houston team won the state championship in football, Benedictine. Hallelujah. We pray. There's Galen. All right. Come on, Galen. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Galen, Benedictine. All right, Benedictine. And God bless you. And I don't know if you just want to say yeah again, but to God be the glory. Great job. Yeah, amen. As we continue in worship, we thank God for you. We're ready to close out. Again, thank you so much for that you've done. Thank you so much for following protocol. Again, we ask as we exit that you would exit from the rear. The ushers will direct you as you're exiting after our benediction. And as you're exiting, we please just fellowship. Take time to fellowship outside. When everybody get outside, I know y'all want to hug each other. I know we want to love on each other. We want to do elbows, all this sort of stuff. But please understand how much God loves, how much God cares for us. And we want to make sure we're doing this decently and in order. Because guess what? We want you to come back next Sunday. Woo! You know, it's so strange. Y'all see me. It's so strange to be talking to both sides instead of looking straight ahead of me and preaching to the camera. But I'm so grateful that I get to see all of you. God bless you. Let's keep our observation in mind. Don't forget showcase on Thursday night, 6:30. Again, thank you so much for following the instructions. And again, we thank God for our speaker, our preacher of this morning. Yes, we want to thank Reverend Katie Calloway for coming to share with us on today. Come on, let's thank God again for her. And the First Baptist Church. We'll be doing more with First Baptist, First Africa. We'll be doing more with First Baptist in the future. And we're so grateful for that opportunity to share together. Let us stand. Want to remind us, we have Brother Mitchell, Sister Mitchell here on this morning. Also, remember about the insurance. Don't forget that if you have not checked your insurance for the Affordable Care Act, you can do it all the way up until January 15. Let us pray. God, our Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, we thank you for how you blessed us, how you kept us. Thank you for those who come to share with us, all of our guests who are watching, all of our guests who are in this sanctuary. We give you praise, honor, and glory. Thank you for Sister Charlotte Blake. Thank you again for Reverend Calloway. Thank you for all who've been here to share with us on this day. Thank you, God, because you continue to bless us, guide us, and keep us. Now we ask that you ever use us as we will leave this place to take the message, God, that we won't just rest upon all the accolades of our ancestors, but we will move forward and do the work you've called us to do for such a time as this. And now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God say amen, amen. And praise God. Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.